Make your way over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll consider the characters of the wise men this morning. A number of aspects about the Christmas story that kind of fascinating. The miracles, amazing, the uplifting parts that we all see. The story of Joseph and Mary, their betrothment and their marriage, story behind that. The fact that Jesus fulfilled, as we saw during our Bible study this morning, just 48 prophecies. Wonder and amazement surrounding the announcement to the shepherds, how angels came to the shepherds. The picture of Jesus coming in really just a humble means. So this morning I want to spend some time focusing on the story of the wise men. These guys have probably one way or another kind of fascinating to me, hopefully to you as well. A little bit of a mystery surrounding them, but they do teach us something about the importance of the birth of Jesus Christ. They also teach us something as well as what it means to be wise. So the question I want to investigate today is what makes the wise men wise? Why do we call these men wise? Well, wisdom and intelligence can sometimes be hard to kind of quantify. It's tough to really define intelligence. It's usually one of those things that's obviously not there and obviously not. Sometimes it's something that's easier to identify when it's not there with certain people. And I want to ask, so you may be thinking, who is the smartest person in the world? When you think about that, too, some of you may say your dads, and that's, or your husbands, your spouses, like that, or mothers, too. We have to be inclusive in all this, too. Some may think maybe someone like an Albert Einstein or a physician like a Stephen Hawking. Just when in terms of math, though, that's what when I say that. There's a Korean guy that scored a 210 on an IQ test. Now, the average IQ is 100. 140 is a genius. And this guy went on to be, he earned his PhD at age 14 in physics. I'm not quite sure if I could have spelled physics at age 14. Is wisdom something that has to do with knowledge, experience, or achievement? Is it something that you're born with, or is it developed, or perhaps even both? Wisdom might be defined as the ability to apply knowledge in order to make good judgments. Wisdom is taking what you know and putting it to action. It's a combination of knowledge and positive action. We'll see that in the story of the wise men, as they had knowledge that they also put into action. So you're with me in Matthew chapter 2. We'll concentrate on the first 12 verses. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests, scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is so written by the prophets. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, who are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, of Judah, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word to me so that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it arose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Our Father, as we consider the birth of your Son and the events surrounding the wise men, Lord, I pray that we would be wise as well. We see the example that these wise men are, what they've done, and more importantly, the faith that they exercised. I pray, Father, that we would have that same drive, determination, and follow you, your word, just like these wise men did. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are a lot of unanswered questions about the wise men. Where did they come from? We really don't know. It just says from the east. There are a lot of places east of Jerusalem. How long did the trip take? Text doesn't say. They didn't have Google Maps back then. Probably took a long time. How many were there? Well, I see three right there. And, you know, tradition is three because they're only because that there are three gifts. So that's why in art and in figurines there, we always see just three of them. We just assume there were three. Really don't know much about the wise men. The Bible does give us some information. And what we know about them, or what we'll learn about them, can probably understand why these wise men were considered wise. Four things to consider. First off, these wise men had a knowledge of God's word. They had a knowledge of God's word. These people, these wise men from the east, were clearly anticipating a God-appointed king. They were looking forward to his coming. They had read and studied and understood the prophecies about the coming Messiah. So the question that needs to be addressed is, how did these men from the east know the scriptures so well? What was it about there? You think that Judaism, that the books of Moses or even the prophecies were kind of contained just to Israel, and you've got, you know, other practices taking place outside of it too. Well, remember your Old Testament history. And remember that the Babylonians had conquered Israel and dragged them over to the Babylonian Empire too. And the wisest men of Israel were assimilated into the Babylonian culture. You think Daniel, for example, too. He was put in a position of leadership and even passed his information, what he had learned about what he knew about the Old Testament, and passed his understanding to the wise men there. And so by the example of people who were brought into Babylonian captivity, then these men learned about the Old Testament. They studied the scriptures. They knew about the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. And they had probably had access to the first five books of Moses. In a book of Numbers, there's a prophecy that says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth." So they were looking for a literal star. This is one of the prophecies, probably what they were hanging on. These men who had studied the skies and noticed something different. They saw something that must have convinced them that the king they were waiting for had finally come. It's probably a pretty exciting time for them, hundreds of years. They've been reading the prophecies and studying the scriptures, and now they're seeing it fulfilled themselves. What they saw was true. There was really a Savior coming. Their joy must have been overwhelming, all because they studied the scriptures. These wise men were wise because they studied the right book. They were wise because they had God's revealed word at their disposal. They were wise because they were educated by God himself. Their study of the scripture led them and brought them face to face with Jesus. So these men were wise because they had a knowledge of God's word. And they were wise too because these men had faith. We know that they had faith because as soon as they saw the strange star in the sky, they saddled up their donkeys or camels and headed out west. Text doesn't really say anything about at least the shepherds, they had angels announcing it to them. There was no evite for a birth announcement. There was no shower given. All these men had was just a knowledge of the scriptures and a faith that propelled them on this journey. They were simply armed with their knowledge of the scriptures, their faith in God, and a star that suddenly appeared. So the question that perhaps you're thinking of too is, why didn't the Jewish leaders in the area of Bethlehem go and seek out the Messiah? They had the same scriptures. Would they have seen the star? That's probably a good debate for another time. Was the star revealed just to the wise men and not to the leaders of Jerusalem? They probably saw the star too. They had the scriptures too. And they just kind of shrugged their shoulders. They had the same knowledge that the wise men did, but their difference was faith. You see, all the knowledge of the world doesn't do us any good unless we act on it, unless we take that step of faith. Jesus was not welcomed into this world by his own people, but by lowly shepherds and visitors from afar. The Jewish leaders were so caught up in their own religion, they completely ignored the arrival of their Savior. Many of us have at least a basic knowledge of what the Bible says. We've been around long enough to know what it means. We know what it says about our sin and how our sin separates us from God, and how only faith in Jesus Christ can set us free. We heard it, we know it, but sometimes we just don't fully believe it. What made these men wise was not just their knowledge of truth, but their complete faith in it. That's the next thing that shows up, that these wise men were really wise. They came in a spirit of worship. So they had the knowledge of God's word, they had faith, and when they did show up, they came in a spirit of worship. Look at verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures. And they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men worshipped Jesus in two ways. They bowed down to him, and they gave gifts. I think oftentimes within Christmas, we do the gift part, but we seldom do the bowing down part. What's the significance about each gift? Well, the gift of gold was a gift that would be given to a king. It was a present. The fact that they recognized that Jesus Christ was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The incense was a gift generally given to God. Incense offerings were given as a way of pleasing the gods. So this gift indicated they understood that the child was more than just a common man. In offering the gift of incense, this frank incense, they're acknowledging that this baby who had arrived underneath the star was indeed the God of the Old Testament. And it's obvious by the fact that they came down and they worshipped him. Of course, myrrh was the gift usually given at a funeral. When you talk about myrrh, it's something that it's a spice that is put in between the strips of grave clothes as for preservation purposes, was used in burial customs. So at some level, they realized through their study of the Old Testament that this baby had come into the world. He was a king, he was God, and that he was going to die. Perhaps they even looked at Isaiah 53, which is a common verse we use in the old during Christmas time. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before The shearers is silent, yet he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment was taken away, and yet who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For a transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he has done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Perhaps even the wise men saw these prophecies, saw these scriptures, and it just verified, it clicked with them that this was a coming king who was God and who would die. Wisdom comes from a spirit of humility. We kind of process this fact in our study of 1 Peter. In the Psalms, the foolish person, again, something we had studied on Wednesday night too, the psalm is a foolish person is often equated with a proud person. Wisdom comes from knowing our limits. It comes from a realistic view of ourselves. And these wise men sought out the promised Messiah. They found a young child and they bowed to him. They came to offer their worship. And we have to ask ourselves, have we entered into this Christmas season of worship the same way that these wise men did? The way that these wise men worshiped Jesus showed that they had a real understanding of who he was and a solid belief that he was indeed the Messiah. They had a wisdom to see him for who he really was. And even though he was a young child, they saw Jesus for what he was going to be, what was prophesied about him. Do we worship Jesus accordingly? Do we worship him in the same fashion too as to who he is? And fourth and finally, we see the wise men were wise because they were open to God's leading. These wise men were open to God's leading. Look at verse 12. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So early in the story, King Herod had met the wise men in secret. He had discovered from them the exact time the star had appeared and asked them to report back to Herod as to the exact location. Of course, the claim was he wanted to go and worship him too. But the fact is that Herod was insanely jealous and protective and power hungry, and he had to do anything he could to maintain his position and power. He had no intention of worshiping Jesus at all, but rather he wanted to eliminate any potential threat. So the story seems to suggest that the Magi had every intention of going back to Herod informing of the location, but God spoke to them in a dream. He warned the wise men not to go back to Herod, but to go home another way. And of course, we know what happened in verse 16 too. Herod, in a jealous rage, slaughtered hundreds, perhaps thousands of children. Well, we might as well look at it. Then Herod saw, verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region, were 2 years and under, according to the time that he'd ascertained from the wise men. So how many times, God communicated them in a number of ways. He spoke to them through the scriptures. He spoke to the wise men through creation, the form of a star. And he spoke to them through a dream. They were able to hear God because they were listening. How many times have you longed for God to give you some kind of clear, specific, and obvious direction? That was one right there. Amen. We don't allow him to lead our whole lives. We want help with the big and tough decisions. Granted, that's what we want. When the big decisions come, then we want God's help. We solicit the prayers. But for the most part, we want to do things on our own. The wise men were wise because they listened to God for everything, not just the big decisions. Are we taking time out on a regular basis to stop and listen to God? Are you allowing His Word to guide your life? Are you going to Him in prayer and seeking His will? Are you watching faithfully to see how He is going to direct your steps and lead you down the right path? The wise men were open to God's leading, and God led them straight to Jesus Christ. And that's what made them wise. They studied God's word. They allowed Him to answer the big questions in life. Then after studying the scriptures, they put their faith in God. They trusted His promise. And they took faith to pursue their Savior. They came to Jesus with a desire to bow down before Him. They came wanting to worship Him. They came to Jesus with gifts of praise. They found the Messiah that they had been searching for hundreds of years. And ultimately, they allowed God to guide their steps. They didn't try to do things in their own way. They allowed God to lead them. Let's kind of put this into practice for us. Let me make this statement. True wisdom always ends in worship. True wisdom will always end in worshiping God. I am 2 days away from finishing my coursework for my Master's of Divinity. Not even that. I turn in my last paper tomorrow. I told the professor, I don't think I've really learned, really just scratched the beginning of what I feel I need to know about God, about His Word, or even about ministry. I'm just scratching the surface. In all things, all that we learn about the Scripture, it eventually needs to end in worship. That's where I need to arrive at. But this is what God wants from us. He wants us to search for Him with a spirit of humility and openness. He wants us to speak through His Word. He wants us to read and understand the Scriptures. God wants us to come to the place where we will bow down to Jesus. Where are we willing to give our gifts, our praise, and our whole lives? That's what God wants from us. The best gift that we can give Jesus on this holiday is our own selves. Our worship, 24/7, our energy. God wants us to direct our steps. He wants to be the leader in our lives. He wants to be in charge. He wants to have a place of prominence in everything that we do. He just doesn't want to be another thing that we juggle in our busy lives. Sometimes God winds up being that. God winds up being one of the juggling balls. We have to squeeze God into somewhere. But God wants to be not just one thing. God wants to be the main thing. He wants to lead us at work, at home, at school, and everywhere in between. Warren Wiersbe, he wrote a Bible scholar that a lot of ministers leaned on, pastors leaned on for his material. And he passed away just this past year. He says the Magi were seeking the king. Herod was opposing the king, and the Jewish priests were ignoring the king. The wise men were seeking the king, Herod was opposing the king, and the Jewish leaders were ignoring the king. Where are you at this Christmas? What are you doing? Are you seeking the king? Are you opposing the king? Or are you ignoring the king? The wise men were wise because they humbly sought the Savior. So during this Christmas season, let's be wise as well. Let's be searching for the King, and let us be seeking true wisdom that is humble, guided by God's Word, and eventually leads us to our knees in front of the manger. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the example of the wise men. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to be wise. And not what we know about you, but more importantly, how we worship you. That we would seek you first in our lives and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.